to see if we can figure out some of it. Let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina hotline. We've talked with him before, and we do appreciate his time. It is his time of year. Tony Pauline, Pro Football Network, the Believe Podcast Network as well. Tony, how are you, man?
I'm okay. Thanks for having me back.
Hey, man, thank you so much for the time. There's obviously a lot to get into. We're only 2 weeks away. Let's go ahead and start with the Longhorn vibe. A lot of Longhorn fans obviously listening and hoping that Joseph Osai and Sam Cosmi find their way into a really good draft spot. Let me start on the defensive side with Osai. After the pro day workout, which was pretty impressive, what are your thoughts on him right now? What's that national perspective on Osai, and could he climb into kind of a first-round discussion, or is it later than that for you?
No, I think he's a second-round pick. I'd be surprised if he goes into the first round. I have him graded right now as a potential late first-round, early second-round, but where the edge rushers are falling, I think Osai falls outside of round one. But still, I mean, sometimes it's the player's advantage to be a second-round pick because they don't have to deal with that fifth-year option. They get to that second-year contract earlier. He's an explosive guy. He's a terrific pass rusher. He plays to those measurables on the field, and you got to love the guy's intensity. I mean, it's go, go, go all the time with Osai. I think he's going to be a real good player in the right system being a 3-4 defense where he can stand over tackle and occasionally come out of a three-point stance.
So for the people that, for the fans that may not have watched a ton of Miami, give me an idea contrast-wise. Why would a Gregory Rousseau end up in the first round, but Osai's probably slipping to the second round for you?
Well, Rousseau may not end up in the first round. I mean, he's a guy who's sliding, but Rousseau is taller. He's got more growth potential. He's probably a guy who, down the road, is going to be more of a three-down defender on the defensive line. I'm not big on Rousseau. I never bought into the top 15 narrative that was talked about Rousseau early on. So, and I can understand why some people would like Osai better than Rousseau, but Rousseau does have a size advantage. Not a bad athlete, not as fast as Osai, but a guy that I think could line up and really develop into a 4-3 if he puts his mind to it. 4-3 defensive end, I should say.
Right. All right. How about Samuel Cosmi on the offensive line? Longhorn fans trying to get rid of this curse of an offensive player hadn't been drafted since way back and an offensive lineman since way back. Do you think Cosmi can maybe sneak into the backside of that first round?
I doubt it. There are a lot of offensive tackles. I think what's going to happen is you're going to have two or three at the top. With Penei Sewell, Rashawn Slater, although not all teams view him as a tackle, I have him on my guard board, Christian Darrisaw of Virginia Tech. Then there's a big drop-off probably to Tevin Jenkins of Oklahoma State, the bottom part of round one. I think Cosmi, I have him on my board right now as a early to mid-second round choice, which is where I think he ends up.
Okay. All right. So Cosmi there as well. What about, as long as we're talking Texas guys, I guess Caden Stearns would be another name that's out there. Longhorn fans would love to see Sam Ehlinger get drafted. Is that kind of where you're looking for Sam right now, of just getting somebody to draft him somewhere in the seven rounds? What other Longhorns, you know, would you be not concerned about? What other Longhorns are you kind of looking at right now?
Yeah, I think Ehlinger right now, I have him as a 6th, 7th round pick. Quality person. I got to meet him before Senior Bowl practices. An easy guy to root for, but just doesn't have an NFL arm. He proved it during Senior Bowl practices. Really struggled to get any speed on his throws. Caden Stearns, I think, is a 4th-round pick. Taquan Graham or TQ Graham, whatever you like, however you like to say his name, I have him in the 6th round right now. A guy that's a developmental type of player, was kind of out of position in the defense that Texas played. More of your traditional 4-3 interior tackle, maybe your 3-technique guy. I don't know that Brennan Eagles gets selected in the draft because, you know, he's sort of that bigger, slower receiver that we've seen come out of the big to the ball. I mean, a lot of the problems with college cornerbacks is they do a lot of face guarding, which Surtain has done throughout his career. J.C. Horn's one of those guys. He's able to track the pass in the air, get his head back around, and position himself against receivers to either intercept or defend passes, which is why they are very close and why I don't think, you know, if the Cowboys say don't trade down at number 10 and they take J.C. Horn over Surtain, I'm not going to be a guy that screams and yells and says it was a major reach.
Interesting. Okay. So you tell him to – would you tell him to take Horn over? If you had the choice of the two, would you lean Horn over Surtain, or you still like Patrick?
The way I have it, Patrick Surtain is slightly higher rated on my board.
Okay.
I think J.C. Horn has greater upside. I think J.C. Horn could be a better player 2 or 3 years down the road. I think there's probably less downside risk with Patrick Surtain. So it's, are you rolling the dice on the player that you think J.C. Horn could be down the road, or are you going with the safer pick?
Gotcha. All right, Tony, so let's go right to the top of the draft. I think that Trevor Lawrence name has been burned into the number one pick for a very, very long time. But now it feels like Zach Wilson's done the same thing at two with the Jets, especially with the whole move with Darnold. So give me your thoughts on Zach Wilson after what you've seen and the workout that he had. Is he now into that can't-miss category like Trevor Lawrence is? How do you differentiate between the two?
No, there's no such thing as a can't miss player in my vocabulary. I mean, I love Trevor Lawrence. I think he's head and shoulders the best player in this draft. But even he's not a can't miss type of quarterback. Although he's can't miss type of prospect. He's close to it, but there's no such thing as my vocabulary. Zach Wilson, I mean, the guy had a terrific season. He's on an upward swing. As far as I'm concerned, you always want to get a quarterback that's playing his best football entering the draft as opposed to a guy that may be on the downslide or maybe a bit inconsistent. He's got a great head on his shoulders. He sees the field. He processes information quickly. Granted, BYU didn't have the staunchest schedule last year, but he showed consistent improvement. He continually capitalized. My question about him was his arm strength. You know, he's not a true vertical receiver like a Trevor Lawrence, like a Justin Fields, like a Trey Lance, but he's got enough arm strength. I think it's a duck in water as far as the offense that the New York Jets plan to run and bringing Zach Wilson in. They got to protect him. They got to make sure he's surrounded with the right tools and with the right talent. And there's going to be some bumps in the road. And as with any team, with any quarterback, it comes down to player development. I think it's a natural fit. I've stated all along before the trade was made with Sam Darnold, that was the way they're going to go. I think there's still a huge spread between Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson. I don't think it's very close. Lawrence is far and away, in my opinion, he's a generational talent at the quarterback position.
Tony, what was it about Zach Wilson's workout that locked him in? What was it about that workout that just made him the automatic number two? Because I haven't seen any discussion at number two since that day.
The foot speed, the ability to quickly get outside the pocket and accurately throw passes. If you watch the Justin Fields workout, Fields has got a much better arm than Zach Wilson. It's not even close. He can get the ball downfield 50 yards, 50, 55 yards with speed and spin. The difference is, you know, they're throwing in shorts and T-shirt. Justin Fields had a few misses. When I say misses, I'm not talking about just incompletes. I'm talking about situations where receivers had to slow up in their route to catch the ball, had to adjust backwards to grab the ball, had to leave their feet. You didn't see that with Zach Wilson. He was on the money with his passes, as one should be during a pro day workout, because you're working out in surroundings that are very familiar to you. In the case of Wilson, he's throwing to receivers that he's been playing with the past 2 years. It was just the timing and the fact that when you get into the pro day workouts, unlike the college game film, which is the most important, but the pro day workouts, you're asked to make throws that you're going to have to make on Sunday, which you really didn't make on Saturday. That's what Zach Wilson did.
Talking with Tony Pauline, Pro Football Network. And Tony, I was looking at a Pro Football Network mock here. And, of course, a lot of people thinking that San Francisco made the move they made so they can go up and get a quarterback. I'm looking at this mock here that has Mac Jones on it. Do you have the sense that it's going to be Jones, or could they be still trying to decide between Jones and Fields and maybe Trey Lance?
Yeah, I think it's the latter. I think they moved up because they knew they're going to get a quarterback, or I should say my information is that it's the latter. The fact Mac Jones to San Francisco is not an automatic. It's a bit premature at this point in time from what I've been told. You know, I heard right from the beginning it was going to likely be Trey Lance, and to keep Jimmy Garoppolo around for a year to develop Trey Lance, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, San Francisco's got everybody fooled, which is what they want. They're going to get a quarterback. They have to get a quarterback and develop them, considering all the draft capital they gave away. But I don't think that they moved up. I think it's a situation like the New York Jets. We talk about the Sam Darnold trade. Mm-hmm. New York Jets in 2018 made a trade right after the combine to move into the number three spot because they knew a good quarterback was going to fall to them, but they just didn't know which quarterback it was.
Give me a concern for those three quarterbacks, Jones, Lance, Fields. If a team doesn't end up taking them, whatever the spot is, what's the concern right now for you with those three guys, if there are any?
Jones has the least physical gifts of the three that you just mentioned. He doesn't have as strong an arm as the other two. He's not as nimble or nifty as the other two. He's not a guy that's going to pick up yardage with his legs like the other two can. Justin Fields is a guy. He's got great physical skills. He was up and down in 2020. Give him credit because he decided to play rather than opting out. There's also been a concern, as I have stated since last November, that he doesn't process information as quickly on the field as, say, Zach Wilson does. People say it's people don't believe it's true. People say it's overblown. That's what scouts have said, have told me since November and December. That's the concern there. Trey Lance, he's only played 1 year of, he's only started, I should say, 1 year of college football on a 1AA level. And that's always got to be a concern. It's no fault of his own because North Dakota State decided to play only one game in the fall and then postpone their season to the spring. But you look at the fact that despite the fact that Trey Lance played great in 2019, he's got great physical skills. You look at the history of quarterbacks that had one great year and then entered the draft as underclassmen after just 1 year of starters. The name of Dwayne Haskins, Mitch Trubisky, Mark Sanchez. Those are the names that come to the forefront, and history has not been kind to those types of quarterbacks. So my concern with Trey Lance, and I think a lot of concern with Trey Lance, is he's got a very thin body of work, and if you draft him early and force feed him on the field, you know, as a rookie, you may ruin him. You may have to do what the Chiefs did with Patrick Mahomes, and you could have a winner with him.
All right, Tony, I've been a fan of the tight end position my whole life, but I never thought I would see an NFL mock draft where a tight end is the first pass catcher off the board, but I'm seeing it over and over and over again with Kyle Pitts. I knew he was good. I just didn't quite know he was getting this type of love. Do you think he's the first pass catcher off the board, and if so, why?
I think it could be if Atlanta can't move the pick. If Atlanta can't move the pick and they don't want to take a quarterback, I think Kyle Pitts fits there. I think Jamar Chase is higher rated on my board, but Atlanta's not going to take another receiver because they don't need it. I mean, Pitts could go four. He could to Atlanta. He could go five to Cincinnati. He could go six to the Miami Dolphins. And I think all those teams, except for the Falcons, could take a receiver. Whether it be Jamar Chase, whether it be Devonta Smith. Now, the thing about Pitts is he was the motor that ran that Florida offense last year. If you remember, late in the season, they voluntarily sat Pitts down in the LSU game on a Saturday night because they wanted to get him healed up for the SEC title game. And what happened? Florida lost a bad game to LSU. They were knocked out of the national championship conversation. When you look at Pitts, he's big, he's athletic, he's a natural pass catcher. He's basically a 245-pound receiver playing the tight end position who doesn't do a bad job blocking. But the thing I love about Pitts is people talked about how he played, and I said time and time again, it's the people he did it against which really stands out to me.
Mm-hmm.
Watch the SEC title game. Oftentimes Alabama had Patrick Surtain lined up one-on-one against Pitts, couldn't stop him. You watch the South Carolina game. Guess what? J.C. Horn was lined up one-on-one against Kyle Pitts, struggled to stop him. Georgia's got three defensive backs that are going to be selected in the top 90 picks of the draft. They put all those three on Pitts several times throughout the game, couldn't stop him. So it's not that he's just a big, athletic, natural pass catcher. It's also that he just pounded real good competition in the SEC when he went man against man to them.
All right, Tony, before I let you go, I'm a Cowboys fan married to a Steelers fan. I've been telling her at 24 I'm seeing a lot of Najee Harris. Do you like that idea for a marriage of the Steelers and Najee Harris?
Yeah, I've reported, if you follow me on Pro Football Network, I've reported since the Senior Bowl that the Steelers love Najee Harris. And I heard that as late as yesterday that wow, they still like Najee Harris. The thing about it is there's going to be some good offensive linemen staring the Steelers in their face. I think it's a natural fit. I think it's a good fit, but the question is, are they better off with an offensive lineman? Are they better off with a guy like Tevin Jenkins? There's some talk about Landon Dickerson. The Steelers going Landon Dickerson. I love Landon Dickerson. The center from Alabama is a player. His medical history is just a horror show, and you've got to be careful with that. I would say it's probably about 50-50, if not 60-40 right now. From what I've heard since January, that the Steelers go Najee Harris. He's a terrific back, as I've said about him from the get-go. He's a first-round talent who plays a second-day position, but he's a three-down back as a ball carrier, a pass catcher, and a blocker.
Yeah, I like the idea of the way that would match up with him and the Steelers. That's the 24th pick, of course, in the first round. If you're looking for great mock draft stuff, if you're looking for great breakdown, check out Pro Football Network, also the Believe Podcast Network, Tony Pauline, at Tony Pauline on Twitter. Tony, always appreciate the time, man. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Perhaps he turns into more of a pass-catching threat, but the guy that I and many others really have our